Difficult to thrive as a new and emerging artist. Our goal with this project is to increase exposure of new artists in the community and to showcase and share the new talents of the region's population with the greater community. This project will make it possible for new artists who lack significant financial support to be showcased on the radio. By engaging a younger demographic, this ensures that the art, culture, and history will thrive in Minnesota.
I want to thank you guys for tuning in to the New Artists On Air. I got Vincent in the hot box with me. You guys were just listening to him. I don't quite have the name of the last song that just played.
Ronnie Bobbles, Baby.
All right, Vincent, tell me about yourself. Where are you from?
I'm from Wilmer, currently.
My cousin lives out in Wilmer. It's a beautiful little place. Where'd you live before that?
Before that, I lived in New London, 16 years.
Nice, nice. If you don't mind me asking, where's New London?
New London is about 50 minutes from St. Cloud, kind of by Belgrade.
How long have you been playing music?
I've been playing music for 5 years, seriously, and before that I maybe knew 3 chords when I was about 16, but didn't really work on a lot.
Did anybody else in your family play music with you?
My dad was a blues player. He could play the Marble Song using a pack of cigarettes.
So would you say your dad probably influenced a lot of your music nowadays?
Yeah, that and I guess a lot of what he was listening to.
Nice, nice. Did you grow up playing band or anything going through high school?
Yeah.
Did you tap bass, or have you always kind of just had it as kind of a second talent to be able to play guitar?
Well, I grew up Catholic, so there was always like a choir, and there was a lot of music there, you know, in these big, huge halls that the Catholic churches tend to have. So there was some singing progress that I got there. And then when I was in band, I started 6th grade, so I would have been like 11 or something. Tuned into the saxophone, tenor saxophone. I just loved it. I couldn't put the thing down. It felt so good. You could taste the notes, you know? It was like that's how I played, was almost by taste of the reed. And I always wanted a thicker reed. And I played in the jazz bands and did a lot of solo work. It just seemed like music always worked for me. So I kept doing it, and I'm still doing it.
So you've loved music since you were young. So what all do you play?
I play just about every instrument. I think I've played every instrument now. I own a sitar, so that's the most weird instrument I've ever played. It's very cultural, I guess. Took me 6 months of paperwork to get it into America.
Wow.
Because at that time we were in a bunch of wars in the Middle East, so anything coming out of the Middle East was suspect.
Was suspect, so they had to make sure they checked it over and whatnot.
Right. And
wild.
It passed.
And made it through.
Made it through.
How long did it take you to master the sitar, or at least, you know, get the hang of it?
I think my family would say that I probably mastered it that day. I sat down and I played probably 6-7 hours. And when you play it, some sitars are taller than the player playing it. So it's like this full-on yoga. When you do a raga, it takes you physically to someplace else. And some people have reported seeing visions, you know, while they're playing sitars. And I don't know if I had any of that, but it's a magical experience.
So what else do you play?
I play guitar, piano, still dabble with the saxophone. For now and then. I don't own one. I could never afford one. If I pick one up, then I'm apt to play along with whatever group I'm playing in, ska or something.
Do you harmonica, any of those other?
I do harmonica, yes, sir, yes, sir. Yeah.
Nice, nice. So do you have a band, or do you play just a lot of solo work?
It's been solo work for a long time. We started up this group called Moan, Scream, Howl, and I'm not really sure who exactly all is a part of it, but I know to name a few, it would include Bethany Lactrine, Jonathan Hunter, Tom Just, to name a few.
Just to name a good few. So who inspires you in your music nowadays? I know it was your dad and what he was listening to growing up, you had mentioned. What do you listen to nowadays?
I listen to a lot of unknown indie artists. I go on to 4chan and I go to the music channel. It's one of the safe channels on 4chan is the music channel. And I'll listen to what the streams are there and let those take me places and do feedback. There's a very responsive crowd there for me. And we have a lot of a good rapport with each other, giving feedback and not overposting and letting the new artists kind of have their week maybe or their month. I guess I've been listening to a lot of hip-hop. I'm trying to keep the lyrics going faster.
Tell me more about back at home. Did your dad play anything when he was playing music, or did he play guitar?
He was always playing blues riffs, but he was never a singer, so I never really knew what he was playing. And to be honest, one song might have sounded just like it was his because he wouldn't play it exactly like the artist would. Everything that he played reminded me of railroads, you know? Reminded me of trains. I was big into trains as a kid. I think a lot of boys are. I think a lot of kids love train sets. And everything just took me to some place on a journey. I could sit back and whatever was going on, you know, if as a kid you're rambunctious, you're just overly spontaneous sometimes, but the music had a way of kind of cooling me off and keeping me in a positive place when we were growing up with a lot of poverty. And he would pawn his guitar too, you know, he'd take his guitar and he'd pawn it almost 3-4 times a year, and then he'd get it back, you know, he'd pawn it and get it back. But it was something to learn because I told myself I'd never want to pawn my guitar because it's just so much part of me and how I've become this person now, that to lose the guitars or any of my instruments for too long, it's like losing a part of myself. It's like losing an appendage.
So tell me about your music. Where would you classify your music? As more like a bluesy folk?
Blues, Americana, music of the people. Some like poorer nations. I've been translating our music into other languages, and we've been taking off a little bit on YouTube in some other small nations.
What are a few of the languages?
Arabic, Japanese, Czech, Italian.
Do you have any of those memorized?
I don't know. I have some songs that are in Spanish, but we're just translating the English versions because in the videos on YouTube, you'll see that Jonathan Hunter, a member of Moan, Scream, Howl, he plays djembe, and Bethany Lactrine plays violin, and those are kind of old world instruments. I think there's a certain section of America that wants the music to speed up and advance more. They want something newer. But there's a lot of the world that hasn't achieved our level of technology yet, and they're still in the roots music. So I thought, well, I don't think you need to speak our language to hear those songs, but if you want to learn what we're singing, then all for you, you know? I'll take the time to translate those, and I'll keep translating them into more languages, even if it's just 5 views here and 2 views here. To know that the songs have reached out to those people, I think it's important.
It was a very, very, very important. Being able to reach as many people as possible and touch as many lives as possible is a good thing. What do you hope your music will do for other people?
I hope it'll ease their mind. I hope it'll comfort and maybe even get them to do something. Make them think sometimes. Make them talk.
What does your music do for you?
My music is pure recreation. It's just every time I get to play, it's like I'm free. Nothing else holds me down. Nothing else keeps me away from what I want. And I get to explore in the music. And I get to listen to my own thoughts for once. Like what comes out of my subconscious is kind of like healing from whatever that day was or could have been.
So tell me the process of how you go about making your music. The lyrics come first? Do the chords come first?
Lyrics are a big part of it, but sometimes the music comes first. Oftentimes I take out this typewriter that I called Juicy. If it's out of ink, I take the ink band and I slather it up. I just lick the whole band. I lick the whole ink band, and that gives me the ink to type. And typewriters became important after that whole NSA scam, you know, where they were spying on us. All the great UN nations, they said, if you're going to work for secret stuff, you have to have a typewriter. So I got a typewriter, and after it's all inked up, I click and clack at it, and I type out a song, and it goes to the poetry that I like, and I get it front to backwards, just the way I want it to sound, and then I find the music for it. Sometimes the music comes first, sometimes I go, wow, that was a catchy hook, that was a great lick, or these are great chords that I don't see a lot of other people using. So I'll then take the chords, and I'll maybe just throw myself out over it, and fishtail for a while in the music until I have a song.
And on that note, you want to play some?
Yeah.
All right.
Coming harder. Coming on. Coming.
You tell me about that song?
That song I wrote after I went on a 4-hour journey to play at a wedding, and I wanted something in a newer vein than what my first two receivings were given. With Vincent Mishy, via Vincent Mishy, it was all folk and all blues. And a lot of it was inspired by Appalachian recordings, to be honest. It was like a lot of stuff that my grandma and mom listened to on the old vinyl. And I just wanted to rework some of the tunes I heard and play something that everybody could play, that everybody could write a song like those songs. And then with this song, I wanted to play something that nobody could write so that I could stand out and play with a fuller group. Be different.
So how many years collectively would you say you've been playing all together? Did you say it was from 16 on?
I really only knew about 3 chords from 16 to 18, maybe 19.
What was the first instrument you played on?
Piano, white keys, all white keys.
Do you know what type of piano?
It would have been a baby grand piano.
Baby grand piano,
my
all white keys.
Grandmother Betty's. She's listening. Hello, Grandma.
Shout outs to Grandma. So when it comes to your music, what else influences it? Have you gone on tour and come back and written music?
Yes.
Tell me what it's like. Yes. And where did you go? Well, tell me about your first adventure tour.
My first tour was with a ragtag bunch of boys. It was with Ethan Rooney and with William White. We wanted to go out to play in California. Well, that was before information redundancy and really before smartphones. I think we all had a flip phone. And I was the only one with all the tour dates. And my flip phone got rained on. So we lost a lot of the show dates from that flip phone engagement. And we're just stumbling through the West, trying to play anywhere that'll have us now. We had a good time, but that was something that, for me, was very hard. It was very hot, and I felt like it was all my fault that I let the band down for losing this information. I don't know if that could happen to me nowadays. Nowadays, I get everything in triplicate. If someone sends me something, I'm sending it to another email of my own just to make sure I have it.
So the possibility of losing it isn't a possibility anymore.
Not anymore. And if it is for someone, just make sure you have everything in triplicate. You know, just keep extra copies of stuff and make sure your files are in order. That's really important. If we would have been on top of our record keeping back then, we would have had a more successful tour. We would have had a great time. That's it. I think we did have a good time. We came across a lot of strange folk. We just, some angels of people and some just swamp monster people that steal pipe. Scary, scary folks. But some people were all right and then some people weren't. But the stories we tell about it, looking back, that's where we get a big kick out of it, I think.
So what were some of the biggest hurdles overcoming playing music and getting it out there?
Well, I suppose some of the biggest hurdles were, where do I play? I started playing open mics, and I didn't really know or have any way to gauge whether people could even remember my songs, or if they remembered who I was. I just played songs. I played whatever songs I wrote. 6 songs here, 5 songs here. Sometimes they were different every week, so if they were different every week, I don't necessarily blame them for not remembering all the songs. There's a lot of songs on YouTube. I have published about 100 different tunes.
Collectively, how many songs do you think you have?
Oh, like 800 maybe. 800, so that's or more than that probably now.
It's a lot. How many collectively do you have that are recorded and documented? Is it just the 100 and some you said you had on there?
100 and some, yeah. Maybe 120 overall, the media that's documented. Newgrounds, I put up some stuff on Newgrounds every once in a while. They used one of my songs in a short that the guy took off to college. That was "I'd Wish You'd Stay Daisy." I want to kind of rework what he did, maybe a live-action version of it, but I didn't get any money for it, and neither did he. He was too new to sign up for the membership, I think, but that was a good time there.
So what do you love about your music?
I love that I made it.
That's good, that's good. Do you ever play any covers at all, or is it strictly just your own home-style music?
I do play covers. I play covers of classic folk songs, like Amazing Grace or House of the Rising Sun, which I might do tonight. Maybe I'll do that one next.
Jam away.
Thank you.
that saved a wretched man like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blinded, but now and again I can see. My mother was a tale true. She sewed these new blue jeans, and my sweetheart, she walked down in New Orleans. And the only thing that a gambler ever needs is a suitcase and a trunk. And the only pleasures they get out that taught my heart to fear. Grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear to me the hour I first believed. It was one.
That was an excellent cover. Good job.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
So tell me, where can the listeners find your music? What outlets do you have out there for them to find you? Well, and you what should they look for?
SoundCloud. You can search Vincent Michi. Last name, M-I-S-C-H-E. Vincent Michi on SoundCloud. You can search Vincent Michi on YouTube. I have a Bandcamp. I got a Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. I'll post things on Twitter. Reverb Nation. I'm out there on Reverb Nation. Also, we have a full ensemble, Moan Scream Howl. You can search Moan Scream Howl on YouTube and on SoundCloud now. And we're working on an album that I think would be solid radio quality. We're working very hard at it. I suppose it's me putting in a lot of the effort, but John's putting in a hell of a lot of effort too. And he's putting in all the love and work that needs to be done to make this a successful album, I think. Now we just need places to play.
So what does your summer look like? Do you have a set ideal number of shows you're planning to hit for this summer, or do you have anything set out?
Well, we'll be talking about getting some stuff here together. When we're all ready, we'll talk about another tour. Could just be me on the tour. If it was anything like the last one, I think other people would be willing to go along with it. Yeah, so we'll be playing anywhere we can. I'll be playing it anywhere I can, too. I'll probably be frequenting The Goodness. That's a coffee shop in Wilmer.
Hometown venue?
Hometown venue. When I can, probably like in June.
Any other spots in Wilmer you're going to be playing?
I don't know. Jazz and Java. Play there on Mondays at open mics. And play on Saturdays at kind of a place where a lot of the folk legends of Candiota County kind of meet.
So if you had to give some advice to the young inspired artists out there, what would your advice be?
My advice would be get yourself out there. If you've got talent, if you've got things that you've worked on, songs, poems, movies, cartoons, plays, start putting them out there. Start putting the things out that you aren't sure of. Save some of those gems for later. Save some of the pieces of work that you know someone's going to love and cherish. Save that for a little later. Start putting those things out there that you aren't sure if you like. And then when you find that people still like those pieces of work, then you found somewhat of an audience. Then your goal is to please that audience again and again and again.
On that note, do you want to share one of your gems?
All right. Dogs are barking and my feet are sore. My front gate is open. Come and let yourself in. I can't have you stay outside. We'll be in here for a time. Everything you'll see is mine. Everything you don't belongs to Flynn. On my street, an unhappy girl. You will meet her in a car. She's giving out Freemason jar. Tough boys in my alley play games like I'll run away with time and this song. Now Flynn lives here and isn't seen. He's hard to hear and hard of hearing. The paint and paper peeling off his country blue walls. I won't bother with your pardon. And I'll get lost in the garden. And if you find me, I'll be parking trees until the lady calls us home. On my street, an unhappy girl. You will meet her in a car, giving out Freemason jotties. Tough boys in my alley play games like I'll run away with time. And this song. Directions, there are several detours from construction. The highways are all broken. Take the long gravel roads. And please buckle up your seatbelt. There are several cops about it. You're gonna be coming down to my
name of unhappy girl. You will meet her in a car. She gives out Freemason jars. Tough boys in my alley play games like I'll run away with time. And it all. When the dogs are barking and my feet are sore, my front gate is open, come and let yourself in.
Tell me about that song.
That song maybe has, I don't know if I'm going to talk about it so much, but
just
people
like,
always ask me about that Mason Jars line. Someone came up to me, this really spooked, frantic lady. She came up to me, why are you singing about Mason Jars? And I was like, what song are you talking about? Mason Jars. I sing about Mason Jars. And I guess I was like, oh, okay, I sing about Mason Jars. But I just thought about it as like a nice, dainty craft fair. You know, there was this place I lived next to that had a farmer's market, and that's what I thought about, is you could get a bunch of beans for like $5 or like a dollar for one bag, or a whole ton of beans, I don't know, a ton, but a good pound of beans or something for $5, and then you could get a free mason jar for a while they had mason jars. You know, they would buy a 12 pack of mason jars, and that's just what I thought about. But then some people have been taking it somewhere else, so wherever they take it, that's where it goes.
Where were you in your life when you wrote this?
I was living in a dingy apartment. It was run down. The walls vibrated. There was a water softener vibration that vibrated so much it would knock the pictures off the walls. And we couldn't sleep in it. So I couldn't sleep. So I'd stay up and I'd write songs. And the girl I was living with, she didn't like that I'd stay up so much and write songs, I don't think. But then she didn't like that the water softener would be up there. So then she'd come out, she'd sit there and watch me write songs for a little bit. Kind of wouldn't say much while I wrote. And after it was all done, I played it, and she's like, yeah, that's good. Now, that's good enough to go to bed. So then we went to sleep then. Played it the next morning, and I thought, that's really good. I really like that. I could listen to that. I can't say that for all my songs.
So with that, do you have any regrets?
No regrets. There's not a single thing that I regret.
What about, is there anything you could change or would want to change?
I think maybe upgrading to a smartphone earlier. I was behind like by 10 years in smartphone technology. And
so back to your music. Tell me more about how long you've been playing in Willmar. How long have you been living there?
I've been living there for about 6 months, and I like it. It's very comfortable.
The music scene like down there?
It's different. There's a big Latino music scene. There's a lot of Latin musicians from Mexico, Honduras, Guatemala, Ecuador, and either they are or their parents have been, and they provide a lot of great music, and they play at mostly open mics. I think a lot of musicians in my county, they're just wondering, how do I get out? And I think I'm thinking about that too. You know, John and I have talked about hosting festivals for some of the artists, something where they, if they don't get paid a lot, but maybe they get paid their gas money, maybe they can get a bite to eat or something to drink on the way home.
Do you want to play another song for me? What's the name of this one?
This one's Strawberry Sky.
Can you see the mountains that crumble, falling to the ground? To the ground. Take my hand. No need to wander, I will fall for you. Yes, it's true. Strawberry sunrise, bloodstained eyes, watching over our very lives. Oh, fiery sun, how we try in the darkest days and the whitest nights. I was sent to domination sent to ease. Set us free. Sent to ease a specific situation. Now why wait for relief? Strawberry skies, bloodstained eyes, watching over our very lives. Oh, fiery sunrise, how we try in the dark. Days and the whitest night. Were you there when the flashbangs pounded between the wheels? Four Toyotas and two Hondas. Strawberry sunrise, bloodstained eyes, watching over the day and night. Oh, fiery sunrise, how we try in the darkest days, in the darkest days, in the darkest days, and the white.
Can you tell me about that song?
That song and some other songs come from the wars in the Middle East and the things I don't like about them. And a lot of those people in the Middle East, they're just hungry. They're just really hungry people. And it's sad that we go in there and did a lot of rotten things to those people. And we did a lot of rotten things to our own people. You know, we brought these soldiers in there that have experiences that they will never fully be able to show someone, and or like to be able to bond the way that they did under such tensions. That's something that was both given to them and taken away from them. And I write songs like that so that we don't go there again. We don't go to that level of meanness, violence in the world. If that meanness in the world is decreased and the hunger is decreased, I think people will be satisfied and happy again. The World Food Program, you know, they're working right now to feed 2.5 million people in Syria. And things have kind of somewhat calmed down in Syria after the World Food Program started stepping in saying, hey, we're going to give you some food. We'll give you some water. We'll give you what we got. And that was a big, big help. It was just tremendous. This one's Sand in My Eyes, and this goes in the same vein as that
same
last
vein.
One.
Okay.
A shot was fired that did kill a man. A picture of his girl clutched in his hand. They gathered round him, saw their brother who the desert moans and the mountains cries. They flew him home in a basket case while his young wife cried unto his face. They put him on, gathered by his side, the desert moans and the mountains cries. Now his young child, age of 6 or 5, couldn't ever sleep ever since that time. For in her dreams, "Daddy, Daddy," she cries, and hears the desert moans and the mountains cries. The general sat back against the wall, gazed at photographs lying along the hall. It took a step to go walk in the light, hear the desert moans and the mountains cry. The fight goes on, many more do die. No one is wrong if no one is alive. And the sigh, "She's blind, might I die?" The desert moans and the mountains cry. Hear the desert moans and the mountains cry. Hear the desert moans and the mountains cry. Hear the desert moans and the "Hey, Mr. Maxwell, may I have your silver passport? This train is going backwards and there's no way out. Please, Mr. Maxwell, we are headed for disaster. The end is right in front of us in this land of the lost. Baby, we don't die young. Baby, we don't die young. Baby, we don't die young. Die young, die young. Hey, lovely Lucy, looks like you can see right through me. What is it that you do to me to turn me on? Lovely Lucy, when you get to boozing, I can't understand a single word when you talk. But she said, baby, we don't die young. Baby, we don't die young. Baby, we don't die young. Die young, die young. Hey, Sammy, can we make it to Miami? Drunk and me is blinding and it's getting dark. Hey, Sammy, what about our timing? You know I'm lying in a land of the lost. But then we say, baby, we don't die young. Maybe baby, we don't die young. Baby, we don't die young, die young, die young. Baby, we don't die young. Baby, we don't die young. Baby, we don't die young, die young, die young.
All right, Vincent, I want to thank you for coming into the New Artist on Air Studios here at KKWE 89.9 FM. Do you have any shout-outs you want to give? Any family members, anybody else listening out there?
Just give a shout-out to my whole family, all sides, everybody.
The band.
All the extended family. All the people who've ever played with me. Bethany, John, Tom, Ethan, Will, all the people at Jazz and Java and Whitney Music who put up with me. Peggy, everybody at The Goodness, Christopher and Vicky. People who've helped me on the way up. Josh Reed, who got me started playing warm-ups at the Goat Ridge Brewery. Kind of rekindled my ability to play in front of people.
Do you have anything else you want to tell our listeners out there?
Just be kind and considerate. Keep doing what you love to do. If one day gets you down, just remember the next day is going to be a great day. You can find those avenues of success each and every day. Just because you stumble onto one avenue of failure, one street of failure, doesn't mean that you can't still succeed.
And with that, thank you. God bless. I want to thank everybody for listening. You want to tell them one more time what they're listening to?
I'm Vincent Mishy on Niji Radio.
Thank you, guys. Have a good evening.
Funding for this program has been made possible through a grant from the Legacy, Art, Culture, and Heritage Fund of Minnesota.